desktop developers building WPF, UWP, and WinForms. And we have my old friend, Dimitri Halin, who's going to be here. Jump in. I'm going to turn it over to him. There he is. Looks like he's ready to go. And here he goes. Thanks, folks.
Thanks. So it was fun. I was thinking about when was the first time that I met Chris and I had to look at my email. I'm like, man, we worked together. And yet 2013, the first time we were trying to do some crazy stuff. So it's fun to run into old friends again. So hey, Chris, nice to see you again, even for a few seconds. So my name is Dimitri Lylin, and I'm here to talk about desktop development today. I'm a program manager. I work on the .NET team. I specifically focus on Xamarin and XAML tooling. So two of my favorite X's in the product base. And they also look after the hot reload experiences in Visual Studio. So with that, let's talk. We've got a lot of great content, and I will try to stay on schedule. In fact, I'm going to start my timer. I almost broke my own idea there. All right, what's the agenda today? So three product areas. We're going to start with XAML. We're going to talk all about XAML tooling and what we've been doing there since the last couple of releases, 16.7, 16.8, and even look at where we're going with 16.9. We're then going to go look at WinForms and improvements that came to WinForms as part of .NET 5. Orly is normally the WinForms PM, but she wasn't able to be here, so we're glad to cover this while she's on vacation. Hope she's having a great time. And we'll end this on ClickOnce. We'll talk about ClickOnce. All right, so let's jump into the deck. So first of all, XAML tooling. What's new for XAML? There's a lot new for XAML. So these are kind of the highlights if you want to talk about things that I think are kind of the most broadly applicable. In 16.7, we shipped a really great feature I'm going to demo today. It's called design time data using the D:: prefix, the ignorable prefix in Visual Studio. So that's a great feature. We'll talk all about it in a second here, but really targeted towards desktop developers. It already exists for Xamarin developers. So the desktop support is the new thing we added to WPF and UWP. And then in 2018, we're super excited to ship the data binding, the agnostic experience improvements there. I'm going to demo it as well and show you why that's hopefully going to make your debugging of data binding failures easier. We're then going to look at hot reload, just touch on some of the improvements and what the feature is. I know lots of people still don't use it. We're hoping that you'll see my demo and get excited and give it a try. And then we're going to talk about where hot reload is going. We're trying to bring hot reload to Xamarin Forms, WinUI, et cetera. And the 69 is a time frame where we're making improvements for both, stabilizing things, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll jump into some demos here. But before I go to demos, I just wanted to highlight a few other things. I'm just going to put this slide up here for a second. There's been a bunch of other improvements we've made since 16.7. If you look at the whole year of that, Visual Studio 2019 and XAML, we've done a lot during the year, and this is just some of the highlights. Just wanted to point them out there, but we will not demo them today specifically. They might just come up in passing. All right, XAML tooling demo. Let's jump into it. So first of all, I'm going to go ahead and show you data bindings. So data bindings, just to level set today, is something that it's easy to miss. So when a XAML binding failures happens, we often know folks just complain. I've had this happen to me, like, oh, damn, it's in the output window. I wasn't looking there. I missed the fact that I'm having XAML binding failures, or somebody on my team had to tell me that these things were failing. And then the other problem is the output window itself is not the most ideal place to easily find the errors, look for them, maybe filter them for something specific you're looking at. So we're trying to make all of that a better experience for you. So with that, let me walk you through the three changes that we've made for making this a better experience for developers. First of all, if you're targeting desktop, we've added a new icon to the in-app toolbar. This is live in 16.8. Everything I'm going to show you except one thing is live in 16.8. And the one thing that I'll show you, I'll explain where to find it eventually. So in 16.8, you'll have this icon. It will show you how many bindings are failing. This is super useful because you could already tell, something's not right. I have 32 binding failure in my app. Now, this app its only purpose in life is to have bindings fail. So that's why it's failing so much. But you can imagine a world where you're starting an app in the morning after you got latest from main, and all of a sudden you see one or two binding failures and they weren't there yesterday. And that could really raise the flag to tell you, okay, something is wrong. Now, okay, great. You know that it's failing. How do I know the details? So clicking on the icon will take you to a brand new window It's just a standard window in VS. The icon is just a shortcut to get to it. Once you have it available, you can pin it wherever you want. It could be available both at runtime or not runtime. You could find it using search, et cetera, if you ever close it by accident. But this is the way we're taking the binding failures out of the output window and putting them into Visual Studio in a kind of a more concrete experience. This experience tries to parse the output window and provide you all the failure information in columns. This is new. This wasn't possible before. These columns are rearrangeable. It's fully searchable. So if you want to focus just on day of week, you can basically pick any text in any of these columns and it will narrow it down for you. You can undo that. You can right click on a particular error. You can right click and copy the original error if that's useful for you. You can reset the columns if you made too many changes, you're not happy with it. And also if the same error is happening over and over, we're grouping them, but you can disable that with the grouping button here. Finally, you can do things like expand to see the full exception information if there's one available. And if you're targeting .NET 5, this is all about .NET 5 today, I'm excited to announce that we've enabled Navigate to Code. Unfortunately, for other platforms right now, Navigate to Code isn't possible. This is an experience that only parses the output window, basically, if you don't have .NET 5. But the moment you do have .NET 5, you're going to start getting these icons. And these icons mean source. The source is a well-known thing. And then if you click on it, double-click on it, will take you to exactly where in your file this is failing. So in this case, it's failing right here for the text block, for the foreground property. Now, this is the one place where I'm showing you a feature that's also made better by 16.9. And unfortunately, you're going to have to wait until preview 2, which is if you're using 16.8, this highlight right here that's on foreground would have been right here on text block. It will stay on text block in 16.8 and then in preview 1 for 16.9. But once you have preview 2, you're going to see a slightly better improved experience where we go truly as close to the binding failure as possible. So just wanted to show that I'm excited for it. So that's the experience there. We've also added the binding failure notification icon to the Live Visual tree. Why that's important is because you might be targeting something that doesn't have an in-app toolbar, or you prefer not to use an in-app toolbar. And in that case, this is now available to you as well to at least see that bindings are failing. If they're not failing, this icon would not be red. So that's something to note. So with that, I just want to also point out that all of the details that I talked about are available in the release notes for the current release. So you can find them under the XAML tools section right here. All right, one demo down, a few more to go. So for the next demo, I'm going to switch over to design time data. This is a feature we shipped in 16.7, but I'm showing it now because I didn't have a lot of kind of exposure to show this off at conferences. It's been kind of a crazy year, but I'm really excited. This is a really powerful feature. Without this feature, if you were just to, let's say, have a text block in your application, right, or a label or something, let's get rid of this magical D colon attribute. You would basically have a blank control. I mean, you wouldn't even know that there's a label here. It's not a great experience. So we've added this concept of D colon, where using D colon, you can add something that will show up in the designer. So you need to be using the designer. It has to be enabled, and you have to be doing WPF or UWP, specifically .NET Core or .NET 5 for WPF. This doesn't support the .NET framework world. So again, better on .NET 5. Where we're making this available to you. Now, D colon is very powerful because it doesn't require you to have a view model, doesn't require you to have any real capability in your application. You can literally mock your app as you go. You can mock everything from a text block, text, even if it's in the real property is set to a real binding, which in this case, this is a fake binding, but like if it was a real binding, you can imagine how useful this is. You can mock it in your designer, but then your running app never sees the D colon. We never compile this into your running app, and you're only going to see this bindings information showing up to the users. It works in more complex scenarios, like a rich text block, text box where you can do the document and the flow and the paragraph, everything has D colons, and you can mock all of that up. If you have lists, we work for showing you things like you can do an array of strings. You can also do more complex things with, if you do have some entities, you can actually mock the entities inside of your XAML as well under a D colon fake item source. You can do fun stuff with buttons, disabling, enabling, checkboxes. You can put an image in here. The only limitation is the image must be in your project. So that's a limitation, unfortunately. If we can ever figure something out for this, we'll do that. But for now, it must be part of your compiled executable. And then we can do all sorts of things all the way through, progress bar. You can see what would it look like once it reaches 100. Or you can do cool things with user controls, something that we've made better in 16.8, actually, where user controls now render just a lot better. There were some bugs related to rendering these. But basically, why is this important? If I go to the user control, it has design time data, and now it's showing on the page that's hosting it. So that's another feature that we've added. All right, so where can you learn more? You'll be able to learn more in our documentation. We have documentation for this feature called Use Design Time Data, and here's my sample up as well. The URLs and everything, I'll try to make sure those get posted into the video. All right, so that's Design Time Data. And one other bonus thing I'll show with Design Time Data is a preview feature. You have to be on the preview channel, so you have to be using 669. You have to enable it under settings. It is called Suggested Actions, and this feature is really cool. I want more folks to just be aware that it's here. It lights up a light bulb, and it gives you access to the most common properties that you might want to change right here from the XAML designer. Again, more ways we're trying to make the designer useful to you as a place to quickly change properties, preview what your app will look like, and hopefully bring you more value from the investments that we've made here. All right. So next XAML demo, and the last XAML demo in the list, is XAML Hot Reload. What is XAML Hot Reload? Let's check the time just to make sure I'm on target. Okay, yeah, this is going good. So XAML Hot Reload is a really cool feature. It is now the other extreme. You need to run your application. In this case, like I'm telling you, like let's say I'm the developer of this app, right? And this is just the WPF samples that I'm showing you. But like, if I'm running this application, let's wait for this thing to start. I'll describe it. Maybe this is the only time where my app fully comes together in a way that it's meaningful for me to start fixing my UI, tweaking my UI, and maybe in some cases building UI. What is the idea here? The idea here is you're able to change the XAML as the app runs, and it just kind of should always work. And if it ever doesn't work, please tell us. Occasionally, I find customers who are aware of some scenario that doesn't work. It's a really complex mechanism we've built to make this possible. So if something doesn't work that I'm showing you here, please keep me honest. Let us know. We really will try to fix it for you and for all of our customers. But let's start with the experience as it hopefully will work for you. So XAML Hot Reload is not just one experience, but it's a series of tools. So the way to think about it is it's this in-app toolbar. This is this draggable toolbar at the top of your running application. It's the live visual tree that's on the left, and it's the code editor all kind of working together. So let me show you what that means. So here I'm going to use the element selector, which is a very useful way to even know what XAML you should be changing as your app is running. So in this case, I'm going to select this list box here. So this element selector allowed me to easily find in which file, in which place this list box exists. And this is my running application representation. This is the XAML representation. And at the left, we have the live visual tree. And the live visual tree is telling me that this list box lives in a grid. The grid lives in a doc panel. The doc panel lives in a grid. Just very useful information in order for me to understand how this running application is coming together. So again, this is all about representing what the running state of the application looks like after it's been composed. Now, we're hiding all the things that you don't have source code for. These icons mean in the live visual tree that you have source. If you were to click this button here, you'd see everything, but we don't want that. If for my demo, I want to just show you that I'm finding this to be already a very useful set of data for me. So let's start changing things. I'm just going to say, wait, my app just disappeared. Well, that's not cool. How am I going to show this to you on a single screen? Well, I'm going to go to the very top of the app, and I'm just going to say topmost. And I'm going to set this topmost to true. And now my application has been literally changed. This topmost is not a designer property. It's a real property of the app. I'm going to have to remember to undo that before I update this app to my customers. But it's something I could use right now. It works. I can change these properties at the very top. I can change the title. So if the title .NET Conf was something that I wanted to put in there, there you go. You see the title is changing in the title bar. So let's go back to where I wanted to go originally. I'm going to go back to this list box. Challenges of the demo. Let's go somewhere. Let's go back to the list box. That's just a weird thing. I'll have to take a look at that. So list box right here appears, has the data in it. I'm not sure if I want a list box. I'm going to get rid of the list box. No, it's probably not right. I'm going to put the list box back in. There you go. There's just the power of what this thing can do. You can literally have typed this all out by hand, right? There was nothing magical. The paste operation wasn't undoing anything. It was just literally telling the technology to go and put this back into the running apps state. I can even go even crazier. I can go all the way to the top and I can say, what would this all look like instead of status stack panel? If I wanted to do that, I'm going to rip out my row definition and, oh man, that's terrible. That's definitely not what I want to do. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna put my everything back to how it was. There you go. Everything's back to normal, and my app is back to normal. This is the power of hot reload. This is the power of the tooling that lets you inspect the running application. It's able to let you make changes, let you play around with things, let you undo something you did, like this topmost thing up here, and let you go back to it. So we have a lot of documentation. We have documentation. You can decide if it's a lot or not for this. And the documentation describes how this feature works, what its limitations are. There are limitations that are known, so there's no limitations here. There are certain ways that this could fail for you, and if it fails, you know these are the error messages you could expect. And once again, I want to just say that if anything doesn't work that's not already listed here on this documentation, please let us know. Use that feedback button in Digital Studio. We really want to make this really, really great feature for you. So let's talk about XAML Hot Reload a little bit. XAML Hot Reload is something that we are today we consider in production for WPF and UWP. It is coming now to WinUI customers. So if you work on WinUI 3, if you target Preview 3, which I think is coming out soon, and then you use 16.9 Preview 1, when that scenario with WinUI should work. So XAML Hot Reload should light up for that platform. And then for Xamarin, as part of 16.9, we're really hoping that we're going to bring this feature to stable for Xamarin customers as well. And this feature on the Xamarin side is often called, Maddie earlier today called it XAML Hot Reload 2.0. That's not a real name. I've often called it changes only, or you know, the pipeline that desktop also uses. All of those are sort of real ways to describe the feature. So those are the things that we hope to accomplish in the 16.9 timeframe. So really exciting to see Hot Reload arrive everywhere. Work with emulators, work with desktop applications, work in all of these different scenarios. And again, we have documentation, we have a troubleshooting guide. I know some customers have run into issues where Hot Reload isn't available. We try to make the in-app toolbar be a place you can discover that it's not available. That's another thing I've heard folks tell me, that you know, without this notification, they weren't sure if the feature was working or not, and was failing because the pipeline was failing, or it was failing because the feature wasn't even enabled, which you could get into that state if you don't start debug correctly. So that's something that's here. And clicking on this will actually take you to the documentation. So there you go. It opens up the link. And if it would have said unavailable, it would have taken you to the troubleshooting guide. So we try to make the documentation easy to discover. You can hide the message by clicking this button here. It all kind of works together. And then if you ever lose the Live Visual Tree, it's another piece of feedback customers have given us. Sometimes Live Visual Tree goes away for whatever reason, it's gone, you don't know how to get to it, you want to look at the composition of your app, you can click on that button and it brings up the Live Visual Tree. We also have a lot of the same buttons between the two. So if you don't like this and you double collapse it away, you can use the toolbar inside the Live Visual Tree. You can even make that little dot, that little black bar go away by clicking this button here. So it's a very customizable experience. Please use it and let us know how that goes. All right, so that's the Hot Reload side of things. Next, we're going to transition back to the slides. So I'm going to go back to my slide deck here. And just recap. So we took a look at XAML data binding diagnostic experiences first. There are some caveats of when it works and what feature set it has. So navigate the source available for .NET 5, navigate the source coming in 16.9, and SDK 5, I'm not sure which preview release and which SDK version yet, but just know that we are trying to light up navigate to source to all the platforms that we can. It requires platform changes, and therefore it requires coordination with other teams. So we ask for your patience, but please make your voice heard if you are looking for a particular platform to be lit up. XAML Hot Reload, continues to improve. We've also consolidated the settings under a new place under debugger Hot Reload. So if you're using 16.8 or greater, you can't find the settings for hot reload, even though you can just type into the search box in the top right, hot reload, and that should get you there. But in case you can't find it, this is what happened there. WinUI support is coming, Xamarin support is being stabilized. And then finally, for XAML Designer, between design time data and suggested actions, we're hoping the designer is going to be more and more useful for you. All right, so let's talk about WinForms. WinForms is a technology that's even older than WPF. It is one of the places where I grew my career. I worked on a WinForms app at a bank, and, you know, it feels like a lifetime ago, and I have a feeling that that app might still be in production somewhere. So I'm excited to say that WinForms continues to get better with .NET Core and now .NET 5. In .NET 5, there's been all sorts of changes to bring in new control, which was community contributed. Thank you so much for the person in the community that helped us make that control happen. That's that animated GIF you see playing on the right. We've made improvements to other controls, I believe also with community contributions. Kind of in general, the community has been really, really awesome in the WinForm space. And we've got over 150 PRs that were accepted from the community. Now, the team that works on WinForms is not just, you know, sort of accepting PRs from the community, even though that is real work. It takes a lot of effort, and I'm so happy we're doing it. But they're also looking at what they can do to make this a better platform for so many customers that use it. So we've been looking at optimizing for memory performance and accessibility. There's been all sorts of changes that happened as part of .NET 5. I would assume it's in release notes. I'm not going to go for all those details right now. But what I will highlight is that the designer is something that customers, you know, if you're using WinForms and you've been using with .NET Core, you know the designer was the one thing that wasn't considered GA, right? It wasn't considered done. In 16.8, it gets better. It's still not 100% done. There's still work to be made around data scenarios where controls that are bound to data, some of that functionality just won't be available to you today. But we have two advances that have happened. Support for most controls has been stabilized, and support for third-party controls has been stabilized. So with that, let's jump into a little demo here. So I'm going to go back to my computer, and I'm going to find the right. First, I'm going to find my mouse cursor. That's always a good place to start. I'm going to go back to here. Okay. So what is this app? It is completely silly, stupid. I made it in 2 seconds. It wasn't the greatest achievement of my career so far, but it demonstrates a couple of points. First of all, this is a control from Telerik. This is just an example. All sorts of companies, vendors are building support for .NET 5. The Telerik is one of them, so I'm demoing a Telerik control. And we just want to point out that Telerik controls are right here, visible in the left side of the toolbox, on the toolbox. So you can see that they've all been found. And all I did was I added the reference to the NuGet package to make that happen, nothing special. And in the middle, I took dependency on the WebView2 control, something you might have seen from Scott's earlier demo. This is the Chromium control. This app, you know, works in the designer. I was able to place all the controls in the designer. Everything worked as expected. And I'm going to start the app just to show off that everything, you know, builds and runs and targets .NET 5. So in a few seconds, that should hopefully light up. Let's give it a second here. Do-do-do. This is the moment in my career. I always wish I had hold music that I could just turn on for you folks to listen to. I'm running way too many things in this machine right now, so I'm guessing my CPU is pegged at 100. That app will come up eventually. And if it doesn't, I have a feeling you have sympathy for me watching this, and you're like, I feel for you, Dimitri. So fun story. I had to update Visual Studio last night, which is not something I do as a presenter typically, but I found a bug. I was using preview bits, and I thought they were stable enough, but they were like pretty old, like I think a week old. And there was a bug that I just didn't want to see happen today. So then I updated Visual Studio last night, and it broke a couple of other demos I had. Purely my fault in the timing there, but the bits that we're showing you right now is the bits you can download. So at least I'm matching with what you're using with less bugs in it. All right, so there it is. There's the Chromium control, a really excellent control, full fidelity rendering in your application. Strongly recommend you check it out. If you Google for WebView2, you will find it, and it's a NuGet package that's available as well. All right, so with that, I'm going to go back to my slides and just recap. So Windows Forms Designer continues to improve. Not finished yet, but 16.8 makes it better. New controls and control improvements in WinForms in general are happening. That's amazing. That's like platform stuff, not even tooling. Improvements to memory and performance optimization. Accessibility is getting better. And things like WebView 2 are being made available to .NET Framework and .NET Core / .NET 5 customers. This is all amazing to me. I'm so proud that Microsoft is making all these investments into existing customers, meeting them where they are in many cases, and making sure that they can stay modern. And when you are able to take the journey with us to .NET Core and .NET 5, we're able to do more for you. So we really hope that you will continue to, first of all, let us know what's blocking you if something is, and on the other side, giving it a try and taking advantage of the huge investment we're making into .NET 5 and in the future. So the final topic is ClickOnce. ClickOnce is a technology that's been around for a while, but you might be watching this live stream and you might ask me, what's ClickOnce? And that's a fair question, right? So ClickOnce is something that I've used in production back in the day. It's a popular way in the enterprise to do application deployments. It's a cool little technology, bundles your app, and it basically puts a bubble around it that handles the activation of your app, the installation of your app, and the automation of updates. Kind of said that in the wrong order, but installation, activation, and automatic updates. It works with Windows Form WPF. It even works with console applications, so you can wrap any of those. It can't work on Windows 7. It has a prerequisite that you have to somehow get on there, which is 4.5 of .NET Framework. But if you're on Windows 8 or later, it should just work out of the box. It supports deployment from web, FTP, UNC, local deployments. You can put it on a CD or you can put it on a website. Like this technology works. And ClickOnce itself has been improved over the years. They added hardware security module, signing support, smart screen support, client certificates. They've improved reliability. So it's not a technology that, you know, should be considered abandoned. We really have been keeping up with it. But the biggest thing we were missing for .NET Core customers was support in the tooling and packaging side of things. And this prevented some customers from migrating. Well, we're so excited to say we're really hoping, starting with 16.8, that this is no longer a limitation for you. Because starting with 16.8, Visual Studio supports it, and the new recently open sourced Mage CLI tool also supports it, and you can start packaging your applications. You can package them from Visual Studio, you can tune them from some of the CLI, or you can do everything straight from the CLI. This experience is built right in. The open source tool is available up on GitHub. It's called .NET Mage. You can install it from command prompt. And then we I don't think we fully intended to support 3.1. At least I'm not sure if we did, but we wound up being able to. So if you're targeting 3.1 or 5.0, you can actually package and deploy those projects. 5.0 is basically though where we're all hoping you're going to be using this. And we also added a new launcher concept. It's a way to sort of make this work with .NET Core. We needed to sort of make ClickOnce be compatible and without making huge changes to it. And by adding a new launcher experience, basically intermediary file, we're able to go from ClickOnce to the launcher to your app in a seamless way from your customer's perspective. And with that, let's go look at the demo. So I'm going to go back to this WinForms application. I'm going to right click on it, and I'm just going to go where you would have gone even 10 years ago if you were using ClickOnce, which is the publish button. So once you go into publish, you can hit start. If this dialog sometimes comes up automatically, I've used it before, so it doesn't. So just that's the difference. That's why you might see a difference. But once you're in the dialog, ClickOnce is under the folders setting. So if you don't see it right away and you have 16.8 installed, don't think it's missing. You just have to click on folder and hit next. So once you do that, you're going to get ClickOnce. And then once you go through ClickOnce, you're going to be asked a bunch of questions that, again, have been around for a long time. To publishing locations, where should these files be? You can publish locally or to directly to a server. You can specify an installation location. If you sign this, you can actually force that to be the only installation location this thing works from. And then you have the settings where you can set prerequisites. You can say that I need this thing to depend on a particular version of .NET to be available, and then it'll get packaged and installed by ClickOnce for you. So that's a powerful feature. You can then choose to sign the manifest and set a bunch of rules around that. And then finally, you have a lot of configuration that you can make at the end to say, .NET 5 is the target. If you had 3.1, it would be listed here. I think I uninstalled it. That's why it's missing. You can choose whether it's framework or self-contained for deployment mode. You can choose where it's portable. If you choose self-contained, you get additional options like produce single file. You hit finish and you will get the directory the way you've configured it, and then you can run it and get the CLickOnce experience. So that is CLickOnce, and we hope you go and try this experience, test it, and please let us know if anything isn't working. So with that, I'm done with the demo here. I'm just gonna close out with my slides. So once again, recap, this experience is back for .NET 5 developers. We have the deployment tool, there's the URL, we describe support and the launcher experience as well. I have a bug in this slide. We didn't actually get this JSON concept in time. So my bad, I killed it from another slide, forgot to kill it here. That's the challenge of working on the edge sometimes, but just know that there is a launcher, but it doesn't yet provide you status information today. But hopefully in the future, we can get to that. So with that, there's been a lot of great things that have come up with 16.8. 16.9 for me and my team gets even more interesting. We've got a lot of amazing things to share with you. With 16.8, for example, bringing you data binding for improvements, but 16.9 letting us refine it with the proper selection mechanisms, letting us bring it to Xamarin Forms developers, things like that. So that's really cool. But as you can see by this slide, so many teams are doing so much work here. It's not just my team. I really hope you go give 16.8 and maybe even 16.9 a try, and you can install them side by side. It works great.